Part 2. So what is critical cultural studies? This is tough to pin down succinctly, in part, because critical cultural studies pays special attention to the many diverse, complex, and often hidden factors shaping how we make sense of the world. No good cultural studies scholar wants to get caught oversimplifying cultural studies as a clearly definable, concrete thing with an explicit origin, etc. Instead, we want to point in many directions at the same time and weave together multifaceted descriptions. And these descriptions will vary from person to person. My own approach to critical cultural studies is shaped by my graduate studies in communication, my work as a documentary scholar, and my interest in media, gender, and sexuality. And my perspective is also shaped by my personal identity and experience, white, male, academic, U.S. citizen, etc. This sort of attention to personal identity and social position is important for critical cultural studies because these things affect the way we make sense of the world. Our identities and social positions shape and are shaped by the language, images, and cultural practices we use. They are shaped by the presumptions we make about ourselves, others, and society, presumptions that are often unspoken and embedded in what people and institutions say and do. And all of this, identities, social positions, rituals, ways of communicating and interacting, unspoken presumptions, etc., is bound up with other factors like economic and political structures. There is a lot included here. It's important to pause and note that the description of critical cultural studies in this essay is just a sketch of a very wide-ranging and complex perspective, a broad overview to help you get a feel for a very slippery topic. Please keep that in mind as you read. There are three things then that I want to highlight in this brief introduction. First, I want to discuss culture as what we study. Second, I want to discuss some of the key ideas that shape how we study culture. Thirdly, woven into the discussion of what we study and how we do it, is the question of why we study culture this way, the political dimension that is very important for the cultural studies tradition. Culture, what we study. Raymond Williams, an early influencer of British cultural studies, observed, "Culture is one of the two or three most complicated words in the English language. Culture can mean high art, like famous paintings in a museum or a Beethoven symphony, the sort of thing we often associate with people who are cultured, cultivated. But culture can also mean the everyday language and practices that groups of people use to make their lives meaningful. As Williams puts it, a whole way of life, material, intellectual, and spiritual." In the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, scholars like Williams and Stuart Hall became interested in the experiences of working-class people in Britain, people whose lives had traditionally been ignored by academic research. Williams and his colleagues discovered that these people had created a rich cultural world for themselves. They had unique ways of making sense of their lives, speaking about their experience, interacting with others, and ordering their social world. These scholars thought this was as worthy of study as any other cultural reality. Some of this research became anchored in the Birmingham Center for the Study of Contemporary Culture. Scholars there found that the culture of the British working class, and other often overlooked minority groups and subcultures, had important political and economic implications, sometimes challenging prevailing regimes of power, sometimes perpetuating them. Cultural studies scholars observe that minority groups and subcultures don't just passively receive culture, but respond, react, and remake culture for themselves. In practice today, cultural studies scholars still often explore everyday culture, what people say and write, the images they use and embrace, their rituals and habits, and so forth. Scholars look for insights about how ideas, attitudes, and social rules govern a people's approach to the world, and how they reveal patterns of advantage and disadvantage that are at work in these cultural expressions, or texts, all with an eye to providing those who are disadvantaged with, in Hall's words, strategies for survival and resources for resistance. Lawrence Grossberg and his colleagues explain, "In cultural studies traditions, culture is understood both as a way of life, encompassing ideas, attitudes, languages, practices, institutions, and structures of power, and a whole range of cultural practices, artistic forms, texts, canons, architecture, mass-produced commodities, and so forth. But it is important to think of these cultural practices as more like dynamic processes than a series of things. Even when cultural objects seem fairly stable, like in the case of a book or media text, they exist and are used and become meaningful in fluid social contexts. So, for example, I might study examples of who is typically depicted as beautiful in popular media. A critical cultural studies scholar carefully analyzes these images to discover patterns, in order to gain some insight into underlying cultural expectations and values about beauty. Expectations and values that might not be immediately obvious. Critical cultural studies scholars want to trace how these patterns become established, how they are supported and perpetuated, how they are complicated, challenged and resisted, and how they sometimes change. The goal is to call out the ways these patterns hurt some people and benefit others, with the hope of moving toward and embracing a more equitable, livable, and peaceful cultural landscape. It is likely clear to you then why many feminist scholars have aligned themselves with cultural studies and why feminist perspectives might be helpful in this sort of work. Feminism pays careful attention to the ways women are represented. The presumptions embedded in those representations about what it means to be a woman, social expectations for women, how women should be treated and so forth can have very demeaning implications that only become clear once we look at them carefully and think them through. Likewise, there are deep connections between cultural studies and queer theory, attending to the cultural force of rules and presumptions about sexuality. And post-colonial theory, following the legacies of European and American colonial rule lingering in patterns that privilege their perspectives and influence around the world. Culture, how we study it. For cultural studies scholars, there is no one set way of studying or analyzing expressions of culture. Researchers draw on a wide range of strategies. Research methods used for cultural studies include ethnography, textual analysis, content analysis, semiotics, interviews, survey research, and reach for a wide variety of theoretical sources to help analyze culture. Strategies have been drawn from disciplines ranging from literary studies and philosophy, to anthropology and sociology. And theoretical ideas have been drawn from resources ranging from Marxism and psychoanalysis to feminism and queer theory. No one theory or methodological approach can be sufficient for cultural studies because the way we study something helps shape our outcomes. What we see depends on what we look at and how we look. Scholars have to remain open to the limitations and cultural assumptions built into their own ways of looking. But cultural studies is also not just anything. When the various approaches come together, we are left with a body of work that examines how cultural expressions and practices structure relationships between people, always with implications for social, economic, and political power. One way to think of how cultural studies is done is to think about the questions guiding the study. How does power operate? How are prevailing systems of power being reinforced, challenged, or responded to? How are people, or sometimes animals or things, being located within a cultural system through the ways they are being represented? How are people being categorized? What are their possible identities? What does this make possible or impossible? Or likely or unlikely? Who is advantaged? Who is disadvantaged or pushed to the margins? What alternative perspectives are included or made possible by the text? After years of work, cultural studies scholars have identified some recurring identity categories that are particularly relevant to how culture in the modern world often works and how social power is organized. Race, economic class, gender, sexuality, age, and disability are often among the central organizing categories at work in cultural messages and practices. So, much of the work you encounter in cultural studies will attend to these categories. Finally, returning to a point made near the start of this essay, these categories work differently for people in different cultural locations. For each of us, our cultural locations matter, especially when they are tied to positions of privilege. So, for example, as a white man, my perspective on culture is always bound up with the advantages tied to my social position. I can only see the ways that any cultural text or practice may disadvantage others by taking on their perspective, something I can only do in very limited ways. This means I need to adopt a position of humility, careful listening, and sometimes silence in the face of the perspectives of people who are disadvantaged when they speak about how power is working in cultural texts and practices. Conversely, my privileged perspectives are often already well known to people in more disadvantaged categories. And for each of us, our cultural locations intersect. In some ways, race works differently for people who are rich than for people who are poor. Gender and disability can both change the operation and impacts of other social categories. Some scholars note that there is species privilege too, which has profound implications for our planetary environment. As a human person, I use what the world provides and interact with animals, resources, and environmental systems from a place of privilege, often not attuned to the harms I cause. Increasingly, cultural studies invite us to embrace a transhuman perspective. It can be hard to see beyond my own needs and perspectives. Another way to put this is the old saying that to someone with a hammer, everything looks like a nail. When we study culture, we must pay attention to the tools we use, how we use them, and how that shapes our understanding.